My daughter Joy, she's 5 years old, and she starts 5-year-old kindergarten tomorrow. And I just find it amazing that this church has such a wide range of children of different ages, all the way down to 2 years old and babies at times, to kids that are still in college, going to college. And it's great to see Victoria here, and James spoke to earlier. And I know this time is filled with such hope and anticipation. The parents feel this hope and anticipation, and the kids, I know, are psyched to go back to school and to get the books again, do all that homework and do all that studying. But it is a time of hope. It's a time of blessings. It's a time of anxiety for the parents, especially those children that are going away to school. But, you know, the Lord is there, and He walks with all of us. And, you know, as parents, we want the best for our children. And we want them to exceed and do well in life. But what does that really mean? You know, parents have expectations for their children no matter what age. And, you know, sometimes children feel this pressure. Young people feel this pressure to be a certain way, to do a certain thing, to exceed and excel, and to have everything figured out. But you don't have to have everything figured out. I mean, I look at the kids that are going off to college, and they're probably more intelligent than I was at their age. So I'm proud of them. But, you know, I didn't have it all figured out when I went to college. I started off doing the best I knew how. Didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. But I kept praying, and I kind of backed into my vocation. And I started taking classes, and I found that I didn't choose a major, but I quickly found that I could get classes that I liked better if I declared a major. So I said, "Lord, what do I want to do? What do I like to do?" And I said, "Well," and I thought about this really hard. I said, "Well, I like to watch television." And on Saturdays, I would watch the college football games, and they would show the little bios of the players on the screen. Okay. And a lot of them were majoring in mass communication. And I said, "Well, if they're doing it, it can't be that hard." So I did. But, you know, in my ignorance, the Lord really blessed that, because I feel like I had an open heart to Him at that time. And I wanted to do what He wanted me to do. And so I went through college. I got ready to get a job, which is generally what you're supposed to do after you get out of college. And I applied to a number of different places, various different places, and nothing was really hitting. And the school that I went to, a number of people that graduated from the television production side of the school went to the University of Montevallo, which is about 45 minutes, I guess, south of here. And so I said, "Okay, well, I'll go there." And I went there. And so I graduated college, applied for jobs. Nothing was really hitting. And a number of people that graduated Montevallo got jobs at EWTN, which is where I work. And I said, "Well, try that." I said, "I don't really want to do that." And but nothing else was going on. But in the meantime, I kept this prayer going. I kept praying, Lord, open the doors that you want opened and close the doors that you want closed. And I have to say that over the years, that's been a real blessing in my life, that prayer. And I pray that prayer time and time again because, you know, if your heart is such that you want to do the Lord's will, you want to do what the Lord has for you, then, and you don't know what it, you may not know what it is. Some people do know what it is, and that's great. But I didn't know what it was at the time. So I said, Lord, open the doors that you want open and close the doors that you want closed. And he blessed that prayer. He allowed me to get a job at EWTN. And through that job, it's really enhanced and strengthened my own faith. And I hope for all of you that your jobs can do that, because that's where we spend a lot of time. It's a lot of time. And so, and it's been a blessing to me because I've been able to travel around the world and see different things that I would never have gotten to see had I not gotten that job. But as I said, it's been a real blessing. And so I just encourage you, kids, young people, people, adults, to pray that prayer. If you're undecided about something, ask the Lord to open the doors that he wants open and close the doors that he wants closed, that he can guide you in the way that he wants you to go. Because it is a process of discernment and a process of making decisions. Because we all have to make decisions, no matter how old we are or young we are. And sometimes those decisions can change our entire life. And sometimes those decisions, we feel the effects of those decisions throughout our life. And as I was thinking about this, I was drawn to the Old Testament lesson that we had 2 weeks ago from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. And it talks about Solomon, who was David's son, and he was praising the Lord for being good to his father David. And it was time for Solomon to take the throne. And Solomon had a dream one night. And in the dream, God spoke to him and said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and merciful love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and merciful love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this day. And now, O Lord God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for the multitude. So Solomon was faced with a great task. And we're all faced with a great task in some form or another. And Solomon asked a question of the Lord. He said, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. So this is what we should want for our children and for ourselves. You know, sometimes we put education as some sort of an idol. And so we chase after degrees, we chase after knowledge, we chase after wisdom for the sake of gain. You know, and parents, like I said, parents always want their children to be successful and to be happy. But you have to stop and think, what does success and happiness mean?
That's right.
You know, what does it mean? You can have the PhD, the big job, the big house. Those are not bad things. But Jesus is the center. And if you have all the success that the world offers, but you don't have Jesus in your heart, and you're not able to share that Jesus with other people to affect real spiritual change in somebody else through the power of the Holy Spirit, then what do you really have? What do you really have? In the readings today, we're given some great examples of contrasts. I'll look at the Old Testament reading from Jonah, and then Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. And in Matthew 14, 22 to 33, it's the story of Peter and the other apostles in the boat. And there's the storm. And Jesus appears on the water and calls Peter out. And so you have two men, go a little bit before the Old Testament reading today to Jonah chapter 1. You have two men in boats. Jonah and Peter, both in boats, both in a storm. And both struggling. And so when you think about discernment, and when you think about what God wants you to do with your life, whether you're Anderson's age, or whether you're Billy's age, doesn't matter. You still have life. God has given you life. You use it to the fullest to honor and glorify Him. You have to always approach the Lord in humbleness and humility to be able to discern what He wants you to do. In Jonah, we see two examples of different responses to the Lord. The Lord asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to prophesy to the people in that city, repent and return to the gospel, or else you'll be destroyed. And Jonah was scared, like we all get at times. And he ran away. He didn't listen to the Lord. He ran away. He chose not to do what the Lord asked him to do. And it's interesting, in the scriptures, he ran away. He didn't run away from what the scripture says, that he didn't exactly run away from what God wanted him to do, which he did. But they phrase it in the scriptures a special way. It said he ran away from the presence of the Lord. Now, how can you run away from the presence of the Lord? You can't. You can try to run away from what the Lord wants you to do, but that's not going to work out very well. And we see that with Jonah. Because he was on a boat, running away from the presence of the Lord, which is everywhere. Storm comes up. The men on the boat are frightened. Jonah's in the belly of the boat, asleep. Apparently, he's not too worried. He thinks everything's all right. But the men are not, they're not all right. They're worried. They're praying. They're like, what is this going on? You know, who's causing this? And we know from the story that they go to Jonah. And Jonah admits that it's me. It's all because of me. I didn't listen to the Lord. So the storm has come upon all of us because of me. And so he says, throw me overboard and you'll be okay. And the men are like, no, we're not going to throw you over. We don't want to do that. We don't want your blood on our hands. But he says, throw me over. And so they throw him overboard. And as Jonah runs away from God's will for him, he gets sucked up into the belly of the big fish or the whale. And that's what happens to us when we try to run away from what God wants us to do. When we try to run away from His presence, from His will, we end up in a dark, damp, stinky place. Right? And our only hope at that point is to cry out to the Lord. Jonah had more freedom when the Lord initially asked him to do that than he did after he was swallowed up by the whale. So Jonah's in the whale, we know, for 3 days. And he begins to pray. And Veronica read it. And Jonah, in his desperation, begins to confess. He confesses his sin. He confesses what is going on with him. And he confesses the power of the Lord. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to the Lord in His holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay, he says. He says, deliverance belongs to the Lord. So Jonah, in the middle of the belly of the whale, repented. And so this is another thing that I think is important for us to understand, that our decisions are important, but they don't always define who we are. And we can repent from our decisions, our bad decisions, and be transformed. The CEC calendar today is the feast day of St. Hippolytus. And I would encourage you, when you get a chance, to read the lives of some of these saints, because they're very interesting and they can be a real encouragement to your spirit. Because saints are just ordinary people that went through ordinary, everyday stuff, but they trusted in the power and the presence of the Lord. Amen. To lift them up. Saint Hippolytus was a priest, and some say a bishop, it's not real clear. But he got wrapped up in a group of people known as the Novationists. And they ended up being a heretical and a schismatic group. And they kind of confused a little bit of the theology with the Trinity. And I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but anyway, Hippolytus began to assume the thinking that back in his time they were persecuted, the Christians were persecuted very heavily. And it was the thinking of some people in the church that if Christians renounced their faith because they were being persecuted, in other words, if they renounced their faith so that they wouldn't be persecuted, then this group of people in the church felt like they could never be part of the church again. Basically, that was, renouncing your faith was like an unforgivable sin. And that is never what the church has taught. You know, if you renounce your faith under duress and persecution, there is still redemption and healing, and you're able to be brought back into the church. But and so that's an example of decisions that can be redeemed in our lives. And so Jonah was able to be redeemed from the belly of the whale. He was spit out after 3 days, and he went to the city of Nineveh and prophesied to the city of Nineveh, and that city was saved. Now, Matthew chapter 14, our other example of a man in a boat, St. Peter. Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was many furlongs distance from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Sounds like Jonah, right? Yeah. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." And then we hear Peter. Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped the Lord, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I find it interesting in this passage that Peter was courageous. He had a lot of courage. And you remember later on in the Gospels, we read that he was the one that was willing to defend Jesus with the sword. Pulled out a sword, chopped off the guard's ears. Jesus said, "Put your sword back in its place." Peter was courageous. But he was also humble. You know, he didn't just, when that storm came up and he saw the Lord, he didn't just say, "Lord, I want to come to you. Let me come to you on the water." He said, basically, "If it's your will, bid me to come." Peter was subservient to the will of God. So he wasn't going to get out of that boat unless the Lord called him out of them. Not because he was afraid, but because he was subservient to the will of God. And he trusted the Lord. He waited for the Lord, and he listened to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Come." And Peter got out and came to the Lord, walked on the water miraculously, like the Lord Jesus. But it's interesting to me in verse, verse 29, he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Now, this was a storm. It was blowing. Peter gets out of the boat. He didn't just now see the wind. The wind was blowing continuously. When we're following the Lord Jesus and trying to be true to his will, situations and circumstances in life don't really matter, because we have our eyes fixed on the Lord. The troubles of our situation vanish because we're walking in faith, and things are going on, still going on around us, but the Lord allows us to focus on him and to walk. But the moment we take our eyes off the Lord, what do we see? We see the wind. We see 12, 15-foot waves about to capsize our boat. But if we can keep our eyes on Jesus, he will lead us to shore. So Jonah and Peter both are great examples of the necessity of listening to and following the Lord. Our New Testament lesson from Romans says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jonah confessed and believed. Peter confessed and believed. And Peter, we know that later on, he denied the Lord 3 different times. But God still had his hand on Peter. And when we, in our weakness and our fear, deny the Lord, he still has his hand on us. And he can still redeem us. He can still draw us back in to his union, to his body. And if we confess and proclaim that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved as well. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us greet.